COVID-19 has put paid to so many charity events, but we're glad to say that the COGS for Cancer charity bike ride is going ahead, and Ben Cameron from COGS is on the line. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Not too bad, mate. Are your legs limbering up?
We're getting there. Training's obviously been a bit difficult this year, but nonetheless, we're going ahead with our ride, which is good news.
Okay, so when's it all taking place?
So we start from La Ciotra on the 7th of October, and we'll be finishing, as always, on the 11th in Antibes.
Yeah, and not much chance for a big get-together afterwards with the restriction on numbers.
Rob, unfortunately, due to the COVID restrictions, we are limited on the numbers of riders and support teams. This year, it's a very small event. But nonetheless, the tribute ride will be going ahead as we've found a way to do that and still looking for people to come and join us.
And some very sad news. One of the key members of COGS for Cancer died quite recently.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, unfortunately, Adrian Long sadly passed away. And as you remember, that's the whole reason that COGS for Cancer started. So, our sympathies go to the family, and we'll be thinking of him during the ride, obviously.
And hopefully the tribute ride dedicated to him when you all come into Antibes.
Absolutely. That's the plan at the moment. But we'll be respectful of the family's wishes as well. So if it's not dedicated to him in person, I know many of the riders will join us and will be riding for Adrian, that's for sure.
Okay, now if people want to get involved either in the tribute ride or by donating money, how do they do that, Ben?
Very easy. Just go to our website, cogsforcancer.org, and there's a couple of click buttons on there, either join in or for more information, and that'll come to me and we'll get the information to you.
Okay, well, excellent. So good news that it's going ahead, Ben. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you during the event.
Fantastic. Thanks again for your support, Rob.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
The new season is upon us. Awesome is here, and Dawn Howard is back with Woofer of the Week. Hope you had a good summer, Dawn.
I did, thank you, considering how mad 2020 is. Yes, I did, thank you.
Yeah, we're saying
nice to speak to you.
We were saying that the other day. It has been absolutely mad. Let's hope for a better 2021, which is only around the corner. And meanwhile, the requirement for finding dogs new homes continues.
Yes, it does indeed. Today we've got a lovely little dog called Carlson. He's an 11-month-old beagle, and he only arrived at the shelter last week, so he hasn't been there very long. He's calm, he's sociable, he loves a cuddle, and whoever adopts him needs to continue with his basic commands, obviously, because he's only 11 months old, and also enjoy walking up to an hour a day and playing with him. He needs a garden, and he needs owners who are mostly home during the day. And like all dogs from the Saint Collier Provence shelter, he's chipped, he's vaccinated, and he's sterilised. And just to say, to cover this, there is an adoption fee of €250, as well as a pre-adoption visit to your home. And there would be one a couple of months after the adoption as well. To make an appointment to meet Carlson, or just to find out more, you can email them at scp83@orange.fr. And you can call them on 06 19 57 2181 and leave a message. And just to reiterate, visits are strictly by appointment at the moment. And obviously, when you do visit, you'll need to take a mask with you.
OK, we all love a cuddle. I'm not quite sure about the basic commands, though.
I couldn't agree more.
Thanks, Dawn. Talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woofiera Radio.
You've been very quiet.
I'm concentrating.
On what?
I'm listening to you. I haven't had a moment. You just opened my mic now.
Sorry. So a lot going on. We had a bit of a computer wobble going on in the studio over the last 15 minutes or so, but Dominique is back and she's fixed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for Dominique.
Thank God for Dominique.
Today's quiz. Question number one. On this day in 1965, the Walker Brothers were at number one in the UK with which Burt Bacharach song?
Make it easy on yourself.
Correct. Question number two.
Well, that was lucky, wasn't it? I nearly said no regrets.
Question number two. It's his birthday today. He was born on this day in 1949. The first song he ever learned to play on his guitar was Twist and Shout. And during one of his concerts, he pulled a teenager out of the crowd and danced with her.
Bono.
The teenager was Courtney Cox, star
Bruce
of Friends.
Springsteen.
Correct.
Dancing in the Dark, that video was, wasn't it?
Very good. Yeah. She later appeared in the video, Dancing in the Dark. Question number three, on this day...
Sorry, I said Bono because he was always grabbing girls out of the crowd, wasn't he?
Was he really?
Yeah. Don't you remember at Live Aid?
Yes, but everybody did at Live Aid, didn't they?
Don't think so.
They're not? Was he the only one? Mm. Okay. On this day in 1978, 10cc had their third and final, a UK number one.
78?
Yes.
Dreadlock Holiday.
Yeah, what were the lyrics about?
I don't like cricket.
What were they about?
About being seduced by somebody.
No. Dreadlock Holiday is what was your answer, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Well, it was all about Jamaica, wasn't it?
It was about Jamaica.
Yeah.
I'll give you half a point for that.
But it's like...
They're about a white... The lyrics were about a white man lost in Jamaica and were based on a true event that happened to Moody Blues vocalist Justin Hayward and Eric Stewart in Barbados.
Really? Justin never told me that.
There you go, you see.
Oh, Justin, is that true? I don't like cricket. Or would you like something hotter? We'll get to the bottom of that one of these days. The news is next.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
4-day week again this week, is it?
No, working at full speed, 100%.
Come on,
no,
what were you doing yesterday
slacking
then? What was going
no
on yesterday?
Time for slacking. Eh? Unfortunately, I had another commitment yesterday morning that made it
really
unavailable to join you.
Okay, hope it went well.
Always.
Right, markets bounced back a bit yesterday, but it's very choppy still, really, isn't it?
Yeah, US stocks rising quite nicely yesterday as buyers came in to take advantage of the recent pullback. Most groups in the S&P 500 advanced, with retailers, technology companies amongst the biggest gainers. Pickup came despite Fed Chair Jerome Powell saying the US economy has a long way to go before fully recovering and will need further support. Investor sentiment, as you say, continues to be pretty fragile. Infection rates around the world, of course, accelerating, resulting in tougher restrictions infringing upon the recovery. The US Congress's inability to agree another fiscal stimulus package and uncertainty being created by the US election filtering through to markets. Particularly there, of course, the concern is around a contested election. If we were to see that play out, that could have certainly an impact for the performance of markets in the short term. S&P 500 was up 1% yesterday. NASDAQ was up 1.7%. That should lead us into a better start on the European bourses this morning, where we're currently calling the FTSE up 60 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 105 points. CAC in Paris up 40 points.
So you couldn't face it yesterday, really, could you? I mean, you looked at the markets on Monday and thought, I'm just not going to do this today. You know,
the idea of spending each and every morning talking to you is somewhat of a miserable start to the
really?
Day.
Really? Well, don't do it then.
I understand that our clients, that the listeners need me, despite the personal anguish I go through each morning in order to deliver this, I do it for the greater good. And it's that national service that drives me forward. The will to do greater good for the community is an integral part of my character.
Pot kettle black, I think, is the expression I'm looking for.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been taking lessons off Boris Johnson, have you, with that speech?
Listen, Boris Johnson's been... what, do a big U-turn? I shouldn't probably say that. A UK government, of course... It's interesting what we've been seeing
getting
in the
political,
UK.
Eh?
No. So we saw the restrictions announced yesterday. I don't know what the reaction on your part of the world has been to this, or whether you're seeing similar things in France and Monaco. But pubs now being forced to close by 10 p.m. Not entirely sure that's going to have the desired effect, I have to say. Seems to me there's going to be a lot of drunk people on the streets that are around
10 o'clock,
5 o'clock, or certainly by 10
well,
o'clock.
Well, the thinking is apparently that drinking accelerates as you go along the evening. So by 10 o'clock, everyone's completely lashed and the social distancing goes out the window and people start ordering shots and the rest of it. But yeah. I think, you know, any hardened drinker's just going to go out an hour earlier and get them in then.
Exactly, bring it forward. Table service only, so that's probably a change there. Work from home if possible. Now, that's a bit of a U-turn, it has to be said.
A bit of a U-turn, it's almost like a full circle.
You go back to July, there was lots of pressures to try and get people back into the office, try and help businesses who rely on office workers. That's obviously a significant change. Hospitality workers must now wear masks. Fines have increased up to £200 for not wearing a mask. Perhaps most dramatically, saying the army will be called in to support the police. But it's all driven, of course, by the scientists. And you have to believe in some case, you have to be guided by the scientists. And so, and there's been some stark predictions about what would happen unless these measures were put in place, particularly, of course, that worst-case scenario, 50,000 infections a day by mid-October.
Yeah, I mean, we're just saying on the air that, you know, it's looking pretty grim between now and Christmas as far as businesses go. And in particular, sports businesses, football clubs and rugby clubs in particular, the smaller ones who really rely on paying customers to come through the gates, and no crowds, no money.
Big part of the revenue for the premierships and the other ones is more about TV licensing. It's more about, of course, sponsorship, etc. And while it has been infringed by a reduction in match day revenue, it doesn't have the same effects potentially, as you say, as has as you go further down the leagues, the greater that pressure is likely to be. So we're getting close to a catastrophic state for many of these smaller clubs now.
Big announcement from Elon Musk yesterday, but investors said no thanks, mate.
Yeah, Tesla shares falling by 7% yesterday in after hours trading after the much hyped battery day failed to inspire investors, despite promising to cut electric vehicle costs so radically they'd be able to produce a $25,000 car that drives itself, but not for 3 years. And that in some way was the problem with yesterday's showcase, as they presented lots of new battery and manufacturing strategies, but it's all about what's possible in the future without a detailed map about how they're going to get there and how quickly, I suppose. Tesla said it expects to be able to build as many as 20 million electric vehicles a year. Put that in some sort of context, this year the global car industry is expected to produce around about 80 million cars, so suggesting they're going to account for a huge chunk in a future supply. The big tangible announcement, I suppose, yesterday was the launch of the new Model S Plaid. 520-mile range, so that's good. Top speed, 200 miles an hour, that's very nice. Delivery starting in 2021, that's good news. Price tag, $140,000, not such good news.
So where are you going to be able to do 200 miles an hour in it then?
Well, the street's going to be pretty empty going into Canary Wharf for some time, so potentially you could do it on the way in.
Calling all the London police.
there's been quite an increase, actually. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that in extreme speeding during the course of the lockdown.
Okay, and Nike has got it springing in its step. You're right, you can use that one later, no charge.
Shares surged 13% as online sales of shoes pushed ahead, helping quarterly profit and revenue beat Wall Street estimates, allowing the sportswear maker to forecast better than expected sales for the full year. Nike's bricks and mortar stores have seen sales under pressure, of course, since COVID-19 began. The shopping malls, department stores in many cases have been shuttered. That concern led them to focus very much on the direct consumer sales route, especially through its own website and apps. Digital sales surged 82% in the quarter ending in August, now accounting for a third of revenue. North America, of course, its biggest, most important market. Quarterly earnings there rose 18%. Footwear sales were up 11% to nearly $3 billion. For the full year, Nike expects revenue to rise between high single digit and low double digits, as retailers that cut shipments during the course of lockdown start to rebuild their inventories and they continue to benefit from online demand.
Mrs. Potts must be delighted that you've been told to stay at home so again,
yeah? Oh, it's all getting a bit fraught, to be honest with you now. Well, the fun, you know, it was nice for the first couple of weeks. Now it's all become a little bit
pressured. Have you got a
shed? I haven't. I'm fortunate that I have a top floor, which allows me a little bit of peace and quiet.
Get that to home base.
I tell you, a lot of my colleagues are sort of getting these garden rooms, which
yes,
I think
is
a fancy name for a shed, basically.
Sarah's dad is really good at sheds.
Is he?
Yeah, he's an expert. I'll give you his email address if you want.
In what way is he an expert?
He just knows all about them, you know. What kind of shed you need.
How often does he spend in there?
All the time.
It's
pretty much in 24/7, you know.
Sarah's my daughter. I think I would as well.
Poof, very nice. Foreign exchanges, please. It's not that funny. Come on, go on with it.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.27. Euro dollar coming in at 1.16.5. 1 euro, 8 cents for your British pound this morning.
Do you ever read Tim Dowling in The Guardian?
No.
He has a column on Saturday.
Is it good?
Yeah, he's got his offices in his shed.
People are liking it. People are really into it, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Just get a nice little heater in there, bit of carpet. Bob's your uncle.
I think the problem that you have is It stops people. Yeah, exactly. You, it's, you know, because work and home has just become one thing.
Yeah,
it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I think if you do have that separation, people tend to be able to sort of separate those two.
Be more productive, you mean?
Yeah, yes. I don't know if you're more productive, but I think probably creates a better balance.
More productive as opposed to reproductive. Okay, thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
9 people have been taken into police custody as part of an investigation into the second round of local elections in Marseille last June. 2 Republican MPs and candidates during the local election in Marseille are suspected of having offered voters help in filling out proxies for the second round of elections so that they did not have to travel, and at times using COVID-19 and the health risk as an excuse, a practice which is illegal. As part of the investigation, searches have this week been carried out at the homes of Geraldine Lapalus and Monique Devouge, deputy mayor of the 11th and 12th district of Marseille. According to the prosecutor of Marseille, the investigation is considering the act of fraudulent manoeuvres of proxy votes, as well as forgery and use of forgery. In other news, bad weather has led to a secondary school in Toulon being evacuated as a precaution. Tuesday saw the Collège Pin d'Alep in Toulon evacuate students for safety reasons. Firefighters intervened after the ground floor flooded due to heavy rainfall. The college is expected to reopen tomorrow, Thursday the 24th of September. The bad weather led to the VAR department being placed on a yellow weather warning on Tuesday, with firefighters carrying out 74 interventions. Meanwhile, several beaches in Antibes-Juan-les-Pins have been temporarily closed to swimmers. The local council said that the bad weather had led to the overload of a number of sanitation networks. As a result, swimming is prohibited until tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Renovation work on the facades of the Place Masséna in Nice have resumed. Delays occurred due to financing of the major project, which requires very specific paint. The project is expected to be completed by the end of spring next year. Place Masséna dates back to 1820. A motorist in the VAR has been flashed by the same speed camera 50 times, accusing the camera of not working properly. The camera, situated on the RD560, has led to the motorist receiving more than 50 fines. With the speed limited to 70 kilometres, many motorists have complained about the faulty functioning of the radar, leading to fines being issued even when the speed is being respected. The case reportedly remains a mystery, with the mayor of the town showing his support to motorists and sharing their doubts about the correct functioning of the equipment. In national news, the European Court has validated a French law intended to regulate local authorisation for short-term property rentals. The decision announced on Tuesday has been welcomed by the City of Paris Council and described as a victory due to the housing shortage in the capital. French law makes the rental of certain homes conditional on prior authorisation from the town hall. That's in towns with more than 200,000 inhabitants and in the inner suburbs of Paris. The main residences cannot be rented out more than 120 days a year, and other accommodations must obtain an authorisation of change of use from the town hall. The case, however, does not end there, as it will now be up to the French justice system to verify that the City of Paris provides evidence of housing shortage. A short-stay specialist Airbnb said it welcomed a decision that will go to help in clarifying the rules, pointing out that it was not a party to the case. Airbnb added that the ruling related to second homes and not people's primary residences, so would it said have little or no impact in Paris. Following a meeting on the current situation of COVID-19 in France held by French Prime Minister Jean Castex with all political party leaders and presidents of the parliamentary groups, the opposition said on Tuesday that they have been left unsatisfied with inconsistencies and few answers to the current health crisis. Speaking after the meeting, Olivier Faure, First Secretary of the Socialist Party, said that despite asking many questions to the Prime Minister, as well as members of the government, MPs were given few answers, adding that it appeared that the government was only discovering the problems as they were being evoked. During the meeting, which lasted more than 2.5 hours, Republican MP Damien Abad pointed out the inconsistencies of the government, in particular, the slowness in the testing policy for COVID-19. The meeting was overshadowed by the latest figures for COVID-19 in France, which saw the number of new cases exceed once again the 10,000 mark on Tuesday, leading to the announcement that a defence council on COVID-19 is scheduled for today or tomorrow, with French President Emmanuel Macron promising that several decisions will be taken. Meanwhile, France's former Minister of the Interior, Christophe Castaner, has been questioned by the Upper House of Parliament Committee following an inquiry into the government's management of the COVID-19 crisis. Castaner appeared before the committee on Tuesday and was notably questioned about the failure to supply police with masks at the start of the epidemic after giving caregivers the masks which were allocated for the police force. In his defence, the former Minister of the Interior explained that a stock of nearly 1.5 million FFP2 masks allocated for the police, the gendarmerie and the prefectures had indeed been distributed to the regional health agency and hospitals. He added that he had made the choice to apply the decision of the state, giving priority to caregivers for this type of equipment. Latest figures for COVID-19 hospitalisations in France show that 4,244 people have been admitted to hospital over the last 7 days, 651 have been admitted to intensive care, and 67 people have died. French President Emmanuel Macron will today formalise his intention to double the duration of paternity leave in France, which would increase from 14 to 28 days. The extension would be financed by Social Security and not by employers. If the project is successful, any employer not respecting the compulsory part of the paternity leave would be liable to a €7,500 fine, as well as possible damages. The French government is hoping to introduce the reform by mid-2021. Finally, the European summit, due to be held on the 24th and 25th of September, has been postponed to October the 1st and 2nd after a case of COVID-19. The announcement came after it was revealed that a security guard who had been in close contact with the president of the European Council, Charles Michel, had tested positive. Charles Michel has since tested negative and begun quarantine in line with the regulations from the Belgium health authorities.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
So fans may not be able to return to watch live sporting events in England until the end of March at the earliest because of the spread of coronavirus. Sports including football, rugby union, cricket, Formula One and horse racing have all been advised by the Department for Culture, Media and Sports that they should be preparing not to host any spectators throughout the winter. Many professional sports clubs could be devastated by the fresh regulations and some are likely to go to the wall, particularly lower league football and rugby teams. In football, the West Ham manager David Moyes and two players have tested positive for coronavirus. West Ham were informed of the positive test before their 5-1 League Cup win over Hull last night, and all three immediately left the stadium and are self-isolating. They won't be able to attend training and will miss the club's next match against Wolves on Sunday. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Alistair Ross at BBC Sport, and Senegalese goalkeeper Edouard Mendy has been having a medical ahead of a move to Chelsea. It was a mistake by current keeper Kepa Arrizabalaga which led to Liverpool's second goal in the Champions win at Stamford Bridge on Sunday. And Chelsea manager Frank Lampard is bringing in the Ren goalkeeper to challenge Kepa's place in the team.
With Mendy coming in, it's more competition, so every reaction will have to be positive around that for Kepa. For Mendy, as he comes in himself, to push to try and play in this team. We know that. We know the standards that are required of a goalkeeper in this team, what we want, what we desire, and we have to push for that.
West Ham manager David Moyes and two players, Issa Diop and Josh Cullen, have tested positive for coronavirus. All were sent home to isolate before the Hammers' 5-1 win over Hull in the League Cup. Manchester United were 3-0 winners at Luton, but West Brom are out, beaten on penalties by second-tier Brentford. Tottenham's League Cup tie at Leighton Orient didn't take place, a decision which was widely expected after it emerged several members of Orient's first-team squad had tested positive for the virus over the weekend. Meanwhile, Gareth Bale's agent says the winger could stay at Tottenham for longer than the season-long loan the club have agreed with Real Madrid. Jonathan Barnett told the BBC Bale was not treated correctly by Real and their fans' behaviour was disgraceful.
I think he's happy with the 1 year. That's what he wanted. That was his wishes. And that's what it's going to be. I, having spoken to him, I'm sure that if things were to be really worked out well, we'd have no problem in another year. This is the club he wants to play at. So I don't have any problems if he wants another year.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League Update from the home of Premier League football.
He's Mendy and he's Bendy.
Your face lit up when you heard that.
Well, it's about time, need a new goalkeeper. Formula One, the former team principal of Ferrari, is to become the sport's new boss next season. Stefano Domenicali, who left Ferrari in 2014, is currently the chief executive of Lamborghini, and his appointment to the head of Formula One has been communicated to the teams. Formula One's CEO and chairman Chase Carey is understood to be staying on, but in a role that's yet to be defined. Couldn't do without that moustache, could we? And in rugby union, there was one game in the Gallagher Premiership in England last night. Bath beat Gloucester 31-20. The match was played behind closed doors, as Bath were forced to cancel the attendance of 1,000 fans at the last minute following the introduction of new government coronavirus restrictions.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts. Beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle of Maritime in the VAR, the general situation is a depression 1,030 millibars over the region. Winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, picking up to force 6. The sea is slight to moderate, becoming moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, thundery showers, force 4 to 6, southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showery, force 3 to 5 southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Riviera Radio, weather.
Big storm going out at sea this morning, wasn't there?
Certainly was.
Yeah. Mainly fine, moderate southwesterly winds. Top temperature 26 degrees today. Overnight lows 19 degrees on the coast, 17 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday, rain and thunderstorms back tomorrow. Mainly fine on Friday. Highs of 23 or 24 degrees. Finally,
how making love can boost heart attack patients. Experts say sexual activity can improve chances of survival over the following two decades.
Well, straight away.
It's been portrayed in movies as a way of triggering a heart attack, but experts now say lovemaking can actually boost the chances of survival. The 2003 Jack Nicholson film Something's Got to Give showed his character rushed to hospital after suffering a heart attack as he began to make love. However, a study has found having an active sex life in the months after a heart attack is linked with a 35% lower risk of death over the next two decades.
Where do I sign up?
I don't know. But one comment on this said, I guess this means my wife prefers me dead.
Nice. Are you up to date? The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc.